The second reading is from Acts, chapters 11 and 13. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today has been marked by the church as the festival of St. Barnabas, Apostle. That might well raise a question in your minds, since apostles are generally understood to be those whom Jesus called as his disciples, along with Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, and St. Paul, a 13th apostle, who described himself as one untimely born. These men all have a number of things in common, which are often considered to be qualifications of apostles. First, they had all followed Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. There is an exception to this in St. Paul, who clearly viewed himself as unusual in this respect, one of the reasons probably that he called himself an apostle untimely born. Second, they all had been specifically called by Jesus, including here St. Paul, to whom Jesus personally appeared as Paul was on the road to Damascus. You might wonder about Matthias, who joined the company of the apostles after Jesus' ascension. The 11, however, understood the selection of Matthias by casting of lots after prayer for God's will to be done in this election as being directed by the Lord. Third, each of them had been witness of the resurrected Christ. St. Paul, again, on the road to Damascus. Finally, all of them had received authority from Jesus and had been sent out by him to act in his behalf in proclaiming God's word and in forgiving sinners. This last bit is important. The Greek word which is transliterated into English as apostle literally means one who has been sent out as envoy or as an ambassador. So how is it that the church identifies Barnabas, a Levite from the island of Cyprus, whose name fittingly means son of encouragement, as an apostle? We don't know anything about Barnabas before he shows up in the fourth chapter of Acts. There is a tradition from the early church that suggests he may have been one of the 72 whom Jesus sent out on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was to go. Now that's certainly a possibility, but there's no indication in God's word that Barnabas was among those 72. Nonetheless, as we heard in the portion of our text from Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they, prophets and teachers in the church in Antioch, laid their hands on them and sent them off. Thus the Lord, through his Spirit, and by the agency of the church at Antioch, sent Barnabas and Saul, also known as Paul, off on what we know as St. Paul's first missionary journey. This sending out at God's direction makes calling St. Barnabas an apostle appropriate. The gradual we chanted this morning comes from Ephesians 4. When Jesus ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for building up the body of Christ. On this day, we can apply this word directly to Barnabas by saying, Jesus gave Barnabas to the church for building up the body of Christ. St. Paul often called himself apostle to the Gentiles, and rightly so. When the Lord sent Ananias to Saul to restore his sight after Saul had been blinded by Jesus' appearance to him, Jesus told Ananias, "Saul is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Not long after this, Jesus appeared to Saul in a trance and said, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Nevertheless, what we heard from Acts 11 indicates that Barnabas also had a very important role in the apostolic era, in the welcoming of non-Jews. Hellenists, they were called in the reading, that is, Greeks, of welcoming non-Jews into the community of the Christian church. The book of Acts, especially in chapters 8 through 15, and St. Paul's letter to Galatians and Ephesians, all focus on this important issue of whether and how non-Jews could become Christians. There was a strong faction in the apostolic church that insisted that people, whatever their ethnicity, must first convert to Judaism and follow all of the ceremonial laws concerning circumcision and diet, which meant no bacon or pork chops or shellfish, and also concerning food preparation and ritual purity, if they wanted to be Christian. This issue is why the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch to find out about the Hellenists who were converting to Christianity. Barnabas recognized that it was the Lord's doing. As St. Paul writes, he saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, which means that he did not insist that they bear the burden of the ceremonial law. We can rejoice then today that Jesus gave Barnabas to the church for the building up of the body of Christ. In his ministry, first in Antioch, and then in his journey with St. Paul, Barnabas was an instrument of God in making clear that it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, here, either or both, faith and salvation, this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In his ministry, Barnabas made it clear and preserved the truth that you contribute not an iota to your salvation. That's 100% a gift from God to you for Jesus' sake, a gift you receive in holy baptism, and as you trust that what God has said is true. Only with this truth can you be certain of your salvation. If you depended even 0.1% on a contribution from you, some good work, or obedience, even faith, or some inclination toward God that you generated on your own, you could never be confident that you were saved. The scriptures, from beginning to end, are quite clear about this. In Genesis, we read, "The intention of man's heart is evil from his youth." Jesus taught, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. St. Paul quoted from the Psalms, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. No one does good, not even one." And Paul confesses as well, "I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." The final judgment will be, "Cursed are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Blessed alone are those who wash their robes in Jesus' blood, that is, who trust in his innocent death for them, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter God's holy city by the gates." Barnabas, the son of encouragement, proclaimed this gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners, a gospel that has come down to you and to me, at least in part, because this apostle of the Lord did that work. As if that weren't enough to lead us to thank and praise God for the gift of Barnabas, Barnabas also served as the one through whom the Lord brought St. Paul in contact both with the church in Antioch and the apostles in Jerusalem. How the Lord might have used Paul for the church without these contacts, we cannot know. But we do know that as he worked through these contacts, more than half of the content of the book of Acts and 13 rich letters dictated by St. Paul have come down to us, all for the sake of building up the body of Christ. Thus it is good this day to remember St. Barnabas, apostle, as a gift that Jesus gave to the church, and thus to you and to me. Thanks be to God for his mercy and grace in Christ Jesus. And thanks be to God for his gift of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, through whom he has given us his word, thus brought us to faith, and continues to nourish us and sustain us in our trust in him. The Lord grant you to cling to his gracious promises in faith until that day when he calls you to join the saints who have gone before us into his nearer presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.